ship.
Yeah, let you. Yeah, I just read the title. I'll let you know this fact.
Unbelievable.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our City Council meeting on September 26, 2011. We're very pleased to see everyone here this evening. As we go through our meeting, if you have any comments you'd like to make on any of the issues that we'll discuss, just raise your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll currently call on you, and you can come up to the mic and just give us your name, if you would, for the record, and make your comments. As we begin this evening, we'll have a council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Merciful and almighty Lord, as you watch over us tonight, we are here humbly doing the service that we need to do for our citizens and for the higher callings in life. We ask for your guidance, your caring, and your mercy as we go about the work that must be done for the betterment of Aiken. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion to accept the agenda as it is?
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion for us to accept agenda as written, please.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Under minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of September 12th, 2011. Any discussion necessary there? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
I move we approve the minutes as written.
Okay, I'll second it. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. On the presentations, we're very pleased this evening to have a presentation. We always are when we have presentations, and tonight is no exception. And it has to do with Aiken Downtown and the Character First banner update. And I'll let Richard take it from there, if you will.
Mayor, thank you so much. We have several very special guests in the audience tonight. And council will recall that about 12 years ago, you had a discussion about Character First program, how it was starting up, and how we could present it and have it in front of our citizens on a daily basis. And at that time, we had volunteers who came forward and presented to us ideas for a design. A local graphic designer and artist stepped up and provided the banners that we look at every day. After the passage of several years, some of the banners had to be replaced. Council will also recall that Judy Cross and Eula Lieber worked on a fundraiser, and the Women's Club actually raised funds to purchase banners that were placed up throughout our downtown. So at some point, they had to be replaced. Some of them are about 6 years or so old. Others are actually about 10 to 12 years old. And the Aiken Downtown Development Association formed a subcommittee after we had the holiday banners up in our downtown during the holiday season and received a number of very positive comments. That subcommittee then began meeting with Linda Hunley, who is the designer of the original character banners, and a discussion began that in addition to the character banners and our seasonal banners downtown, if there could be a way to incorporate both in a downtown display and maybe have a some sort of seasonal display to keep the messages fresh for visitors to Aiken and certainly our citizens who drive through our town every day. I have to give a shout out to Judy Cross and Eula Lieber for all their hard work. Judy has provided you with a history of our character banners downtown that was in your agenda packet that goes through the various efforts that were undertaken to have those banners put in place. And without any further ado, I'd like to invite Linda Hunley and Sally Jenkins to come up and give a presentation of a concept idea they have for the next generation for these banners.
Thank you, Richard. We are so grateful to everyone here tonight for your leadership in making Aiken what it is today, a city of beautiful parks and streetscapes filled with natural beauty, and a city which encourages character in the everyday lives of its citizens. Tonight, we will present a proposal that updates the design of the Character First banners and energizes Aiken's downtown business environment. Our design concept connects character traits in a meaningful way to the spirit of the four seasons. For each season, we have carefully chosen three character traits with special connections to that season. We have also coordinated seasonal colors and Aiken images to bring a festive, inviting tone to the character banners. These banners will bring new energy to our downtown business environment while staying in harmony with Aiken's friendly natural streetscapes. So join us as we envision a vibrant new downtown Aiken, an Aiken that combines character awareness with the excitement of the changing seasons, an Aiken that takes character first to a whole new level. Fall. In the fall, green turns to amber and gold. Farmers harvest the reward of their hard work, and Aikenites store up for the winter. And we fall in love with Aiken.
Gratitude. As we see cotton standing in the fields and pumpkins piled high, we are thankful for the harvest and our blessings. In the fall, we gather together and give thanks. Responsibility. When we see squirrels hide acorns, we're reminded to conserve our resources as well. We commit to work hard this school year or to prepare a sound budget for the new fiscal year. Kindness. The abundant harvest reminds us to be kind to others. We share at Aiken's One Table of Thanksgiving and show kindness with a smile on Lawrence Street or a charitable gift of time or money.
Character comes first in Aiken. Gratitude. Responsibility. Kindness. The larger-than-life handwritten fonts and the vibrant colors of fall reflect the spirit of this festive season. We suggest the following banners to celebrate Aiken's fall season. Seasonal banners reading Fall in Love with Aiken on both sides. Character banners reading Character Comes First in Aiken on one side and alternating the three fall character traits on the reverse side. Winter. Our coldest season has hardships that teach us how to have patience and upon occasion even courage. But as chill fills the air, warmth fills our hearts, and a glorious season of giving begins to unfold. So during winter, we especially realize the joy of Aiken.
Patience. In winter, Aikenites are forced to play indoors and face rising heating bills. But the daffodils we planted last fall remind us that spring will come. The patience of optimistic, patient waiting is a gift of winter. Courage. We salute the line workers, The heater repair people and the public safety officers must still do their jobs even in bad weather. In winter, these citizens face adversity with courage and teach us to do the right thing, even in trying times. Generosity. Downtown shoppers scurry to find the just right gifts for loved ones. But Aiken is also generous to her neighbors in need. Acts, Habitat for Humanity, and Children's Place are just a few of the ways we give.
Again, we propose a seasonal banner in colors celebrating the season and a coordinating character banner with the character traits on the opposite side. Spring, inspired by nature's vibrant palette, daffodil yellow, azalea pink, wisteria purple. We're inspired to make and do beautiful things ourselves. After watching and responding, we have a renewed appreciation for the natural world and our friends and neighbors, old and new. And before we know it, suddenly we bloom in Aiken.
Wonder. When the first green leaflet appears in Hitchcock Woods, who doesn't know wonder? When cicada symphonies fill a warm spring night, who doesn't know wonder? When we slow down to notice the unfolding season, we see amazing things everywhere, in nature and in people. Creativity flows from wonder. When we observe nature's wonders, we want to mirror her beauty, using our own creativity to paint a picture, plant a garden, or solve a problem. Before long, we inspire our neighbors to use their creative gifts as well. Respect. When we stop long enough to be dazzled by nature, we respond in humble respect. In spring, we are awed by the dogwood's blossom and the jasmine's perfume, but we are also amazed by the creations of our fellow Aikenites.
Summer. Watermelon, sweet corn, iced tea, and bare feet. Summer's finally here. The pace slows down, and Aikenites make more time to play and to be with each other. Summer is one terrific time in Aiken. We share, we laugh, we splash. It's just fun to chill in Aiken.
Honesty. When we see the piles of produce at the Aiken Farmers Market, the hard, honest work of these growers inspires us to bring integrity to all we do. In business or the playing field, we want to do the right thing and make the right call. Forgiveness. In the heat of a close contest at Citizens Field, sometimes flare. Summer is a great time to practice forgiveness at the office, in the home, or yes, on the playing field. Giving people second chances helps mend fences and rebuild bridges. Humor. Summer reminds us to laugh with others and at ourselves. In this season, we reclaim our laughing places. We giggle under the fireworks on the 4th and smile at fishtails at the lake. Summer reminds us that humor is both healing and humanizing.
Aiken inspires gratitude, kindness, responsibility, generosity, patience, courage, wonder, creativity, respect, honesty, forgiveness, humor in every season. Fall in love with, find joy in, bloom in, chill in, ache in. We have prepared a takeaway that really goes into depth about the character traits and has the graphics so that you can look at it from afar.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you very much. Good job.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That's very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Linda, you have other. You have some more comments to make. Okay. All right, we'll open it up to any questions if there may be.
Mayor, before we actually open up for any questions from our presenters, the thought is, as we did in the past, several members of the community were very kind and generous. Women's Club stepped up for our character banners. The downtown merchants actually sponsored the holiday banners that we put up downtown, and Maggie Sachs is here tonight. She headed up the subcommittee with ACA Downtown Development that studied feasibility of having a more comprehensive display in our downtown between the character banners and then the seasonal banners, and is also to be commended for all her hard work on this.
Absolutely.
The thought would be for the city to sponsor banners at the main intersection of Lawrence and Richland, to have that display up, so if there are citizens, businesses in Aiken that would be interested in sponsoring banners for our other intersections where we typically have had seasonal and character banners posted, that they could do so. We wouldn't want to ask for the financial commitment until folks could see exactly what they would be buying. So for the city council approval tonight, it would be for us to proceed with an installation of the seasonal and character banners at Lawrence and Richland with an eye towards then replacing the aged out banners at the other intersections through town as donations are received, much as we've done with the American flag displays.
Right. Certainly, before we go on with that, though, I certainly want to recognize the ladies that have been so instrumental from day one when we came back with this idea, and they came forward with the idea for the banners. Would you all stand up, Judy and Eula and anyone else? I would like to say that, and of course they can speak too if you want to, there were at the outset there were 15 women's clubs that came together and came to council with this idea of the banners. I remember that day well, and we appreciate all the work they've done and will continue to do with their banners. And to the ladies that have designed these, Linda and Sally, thank you so much. I think it's very, very nice. And one of the questions I met with the group early on in the first meeting, I wasn't able to meet in the second meeting, I think that you had with Richard, but this will mean that someone, some group, public safety, and I think it's good that we talk about some of the situations so that we're not surprised. If this comes about, then we're changing banners 4 times a year. Correct?
That is correct.
The more banners we have, the more intersections, that's a lot more time-consuming on our staff. And if public safety does that, then they need to understand. We all need to understand this. I'm not saying that to put a damper on this at all, but it is a change from not having to change them necessarily, maybe once a year, and some of them not even once a year, to 4 times a year because of the season. But again, I think it's lovely. I think it'll be an improvement over what we have now. Those have been great for 12 years, certainly. So there's a cost of that as well. What do you estimate the cost to be for the one intersection?
We did prepare research, and we approached various vendors to get a theoretical cost in mind, and we have given that to Richard, so he and the purchasing department have all of that information.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they can share that with all of us, if you have that, Richard, just so we, again, so
certainly, and just depending on the type of commitment we make, of course, we do have a procurement policy and may have to go through the bid process, probably the written bid process at a very minimum. So we wouldn't have hard and fast numbers at this point.
I think we're always interested in cost of everything we do in the city. We look at the cost very, very
Fred, good. I might add that the range of the cost of these is equivalent to the existing banners.
Okay, that's good information. Do you have several sources?
Yes, and purchasing is as you know, the right way to go.
Because if we can do that locally, that's what we want to do. I don't know what sources you may have. I know we talked about that at length at the first meeting we had. But we sure need to try to get, if we go ahead with this, I'm assuming at this point we will, but the council will have to decide that.
And, Mayor, I believe through the Celebrate Aiken celebration, through the character banners, through some other displays that we have done, we've got several vendors here in town, at least two that come to mind that I know would be interested in the bidding process.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
You're going to have these come down every 3 months, right?
Pardon?
They'll come down every 3 months.
Yeah.
And
for
does that mean you just need one set, or are you going to have additional sets in case they get worn and torn like the others did? I imagine they'll last longer, and when you take fall down and
they do last longer by rotating.
You'll store them, and then you'll be able to put those back up the next year.
Right? And, again,
and the vibrancy that it gives to our downtown business environment, we feel like is a very good thing. Mm-hmm.
And Councilmember Clyburn, certainly that was the thought behind having kind of a pilot project at the main intersection,
right,
just to see how that process would work. Rather than have a lot of intersections to do initially, we thought we'd concentrate on the one, go through a rotation of that, and just see how the banners wear, how it is putting them up, taking them down, how they we can best store them so they have the, you know, longest shelf life possible.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to compliment the committee for their efforts, Maggie and the others, and Linda and Sally. Listened to you very, very carefully as you made your presentation. It was an excellent presentation. Most of all, it was your voice tone and the care and love as you did your presentation for Aiken. And obviously, there was a lot of time and effort and going back and forth. I could imagine in the rooms of what you all were trying to decide upon. But it showed, it demonstrated to me as a council member your love for Aiken. And your respect, and your wanting to just see that respect magnified across the city and to people coming into this town. So I thank you. I support you wholeheartedly. I think the four different seasons will do well for our town. We have people coming in almost daily and admiring our charm, and only what you've done will enhance. What's already been done. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Cassie. And we don't know of another city that has that combination. So in so many ways, it adds richness to the character initiative. And then the seasons with the meaningful character traits. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We enjoyed this very much.
I can tell.
It's very meaningful.
I have a question. During your presentation, when you came to spring, you showed three different colors. But you selected just one that you're going to use. Was that just for the presentation, or is it your game plan that maybe next year you'll pick one of the other colors that you didn't select this year?
Well, I do feel like as this project becomes embraced by our community, I think there's a lot of room for expanding the imagery. I really do. We use that in this presentation primarily because that is what spring does. Mm-hmm. It just absolutely inspires all of us by its nature.
So in subsequent years, you could use the other colors?
I think so. These vinyl banners, as well as the marine acrylic banners, really do have a long life, and rotating these will extend the life significantly.
And I think at some point, and I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but with the I did get an email or two on the number of banners that are downtown, and we probably ought to be thinking of some kind of a program for the city. It's hard to say no. Last month we had domestic violence and breast cancer. The month before, ovarian cancer. And before that, we've got the 50th anniversary of USCA. And how do you say no to any of those? We don't. and you end up with a lot of banners. Some in the community are concerned, and others perhaps not.
But. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the right balance, and what is our streetscape conveying to all of us?
Yeah,
and yes.
Yeah. I've got a quick question. Excellent presentation, by the way. I really enjoyed it. As somebody that wants to sponsor, be it a business or a society or an individual, would they buy a corner and be responsible for that corner for a year or 2 years? How do you divvy it up, or is it just one entity that's going to sponsor four intersections, if you will?
I think we turn that over to our soldiers in the women's clubs and to Richard Corsi.
If I could, I might better answer that right now. Again, that would be something that we would determine through the bid process to see what kind of financial commitment would be. Mm-hmm. And again, since it's a public display and in a public space, we have had very good luck with the competitive bid process. I mean, there's actually a very wide range. So it would just depend on what an installation would be, and certainly there could be an opportunity for different levels of contribution.
Right. Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to say I sat in on the second meeting when the ladies presented this, and there is an awful lot of work and effort that went into this. There's some great creativity, as we've seen here. All the ladies involved from the ladies' clubs, Maggie, all of you who have worked so tirelessly to make the Character First program and banners come into play, as well as this. It's always been said, find the busiest lady you can and ask her, tell her what you need, and it'll get done. And that's happened time and time again. And my hats are off to you ladies for all the hard work and effort that you put into this. Mr. Mayor, the thing that I like about this program so is the vibrancy that it's going to bring to our downtown and to businesses. And you and I all know that as we travel around, we see a sign, no matter how pretty it is or how focused it is. After we see that same sign over and over and over, it just gets become a part of the background. It no longer jumps out and speaks to us. But by changing these signs for every season, you're going to ride downtown from one day to the next, and you're going to see the difference. And I think that's going to add vibrancy to our downtown, and that's something that would help our business people downtown. Thank you, ladies.
Absolutely. Any other comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Yes. I'm all for it. I believe the character is you've got to have the soft stuff in all organizations, and I think it's excellent in the city. And I applaud the last decade that he's been up there. And I guess I echo a little bit the concern of how we need to start managing this or have a policy, because I think they were there almost 10 years, and then the 175th was the first change. And we actually added 11 stations or something, and Ms. Cloud might have to help me on that. But I guess we need to look forward at that, so as other groups come in and want to use it, we don't have to come to council every time to put up the banner. We'll need something that says 30 days for the Christmas sales or whatever we have. So I don't know how to get that done. Ask the city manager to think about a policy or go to some group and say what we need to do. Or maybe it's ADDA has to look at that.
I think the ADDA has stepped up in a big way as far as coming up with the subcommittee and coming to you with the concept tonight, and I think that is something we would definitely want to work with ADDA on. We don't have any banners for the domestic violence awareness or the breast cancer observance. I think the folks from the domestic violence awareness group with the
They and the breast cancer share.
Right, right. And actually what we have are ribbons, and the folks from the shelter actually had some silhouettes that were going to be at the courthouse and at the end of Lawrence. Yeah. But there's no actual banners for that. And again, as you go through these processes, you kind of find out what works and what may be a little bit more than necessary, and that's what we're working through. But to the folks that represented the domestic violence awareness and the breast cancer awareness observance, you know, we worked together and met together and came up with a plan that we think will work very well for the downtown. But yes, absolutely, developing a policy will remove a lot of questions. And
I think it is, and you know, times change after the 90s and 2000s, the teens and so forth. And I guess a question for Ms. Cloud, have we put these, if you will, the pictures or representations out to the rest of the business community that are members of ADDA? Is there, maybe if you could, you know, you and I have discussed this and others, we sure don't want to, we don't want some issues that we've had before, like cars in the wrong place and that type of thing, to pop up on us here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Evans. I'm Carla Cloud with Aiken Downtown Development Association. There are two ways that when we approach an issue like this, there's a balance between you do want input, but you also need to be careful, because if you get everybody's consensus, it's like herding cats. So we did present this to several different groups. We have our design committee. We've sent it to the board. We asked the mayor to sit in. The women's group was, we have worked very closely together to make sure that this was a something that we felt would be a positive for the city entirety. So yes, we have not sent it out to all the businesses, but many of the businesses that are represented on our board and our committees have seen this.
And that was my main concern, that the key people and have all seen it and everything. That's what your and my discussion was.
And it has definitely been received very positively. Good. Extremely.
And it is a bit of a chicken and an egg scenario where you need the permission before you go out and solicit the support. So,
do you need a motion or resolution to proceed?
Yes, we do. We need a motion to go ahead with this one intersection.
Whatever we need to say, maybe the city attorney can help with the words again, but I would move that we go ahead with one intersections at Lawrence and Park there. And Mr. City Attorney, if you can put the right words to
if you'll just
Lawrence,
look at
Lawrence and Richland.
Lawrence and Richland, I'm sorry.
It's in my memo. It's approval of a request to develop and install one set of banners for Richland Avenue and Lawrence Street intersection.
Just second. What you've written? Okay.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second.
Dick seconded.
Dick DeWard just seconded it before you, Steve, but we'll have a third here. Any other comments?
Just again, thank the ladies. It's yep. Absolutely
very
wonderful
much.
Job. Really wonderful job.
Certainly.
Thank you very much.
Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. This is the first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Ms. Pierce, please.
We have several pending appointments to city boards and commission. One appointment is on the agenda tonight for council's consideration. Councilmember Ebner recommended Charles Hogan Sr. be reappointed to the General Aviation Commission. If council reports Mr. Hogan, his term would expire September 1, 2013.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mayor, I move we approve the appointment of Charles Hogan Sr. to the General Aviation Commission.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, before we go any further, mm-hmm. I have a young lady that I would like to have you consider for one of your character awards. How do I do that with you?
Okay. Why don't we want to discuss it after the meeting?
Yes, that'll be
okay.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Do you have any other nominations for a board or commission tonight, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Anyone have any other?
I'd like to nominate Martin Buckley, renominate him for the Building Code Appeals Committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any others? Okay, if not, thank you for that. That'll be on the agenda next week, of course. Item two,
Under old business, proposed green space purchase, 0.5 acres.
Yes, Mayor. Council recall we did discuss this at a meeting in August, and council had several concerns about the property on East Penlog Road. The tax map number for this property is 12206080010. You have a resolution authorizing the purchase of 0.5 acre. The planning department contacted me and let me know that their calculation of the acreage was 0.37 acre of real property located in the city of Aiken on East Pine Log Road, adjacent to the city of Aiken Deepwell Water Facility. This facility is located across from Trailwood Avenue, and it is designated Lot 11, Block B of Virginia Acre Subdivision, Section 3. Originally, we were proposing offering $60,000 for the purchase of this property. Council asked that we have the property appraised. We did get a single appraisal from Michael McNeil for $51,000 for this parcel. If council would approve the purchase of the land prior to actually closing on the purchase, we would then obtain the second appraisal on the property and would not purchase it unless that appraisal came in at $51,000. Larry Morris is here. You'll recall that he spoke to council at the first consideration of this resolution. And on page 61, Sarah, can we pull that up? That's an aerial photo that shows our existing city water plant, and then there's a yellow star that shows the actual tract of land, that 0.37 acre, more or less. That is a level area immediately to the right of the yellow star that you have. It's kind of in the center of the exhibit that's up on the screen that you have right now. It's in your materials on page 61. That's actually a level area, and both Larry and I have looked at this. And when we talked before, council was concerned about a low area. The low area is actually where we own property now. So we own that right bank of the low area. Larry had presented information about stormwater abatement. This is immediately across from Mallard Lake and the Mallard Lake detention area. Larry and I looked at the starred area, and that's actually a level area that would give us then level areas on both sides of the low spot with some of the issues that we are, Larry, if you'll come on up, we do need you, with some of the issues we're dealing with water pressure variances in the city. Even though we have two storage tanks at this site, Larry and I have been reviewing this area for a potential location of a third water tank to help us with these water pressure issues, along with a potential additional tank on Town Creek. Some of our preliminary research shows that we are experiencing, particularly in the months of July, August, and September, fairly significant variations in our pressure for our city water system. That's putting some stress on the plastic piping that is so prevalent in newer subdivisions through town. So we're thinking that in addition to the deep water wells that we built, the water plant we're building, that the storage tanks would provide us an opportunity to actually store water, so when we have these spikes in demand, we can meet that demand and not experience such severe variances in the water pressure. That all goes back to the purchase of this property as an initial step to provide us additional ground and some buffer to the residential area from our water plant facility in the event we go forward with the construction of an additional water tank, and also an opportunity to work on stormwater abatement. Stormwater issues are becoming more prevalent than even water leak issues based on the regulations that DHEC has required local governmental entities to adopt. So for consideration tonight is a resolution authorizing us to purchase this tract of land for $51,000, conditioned upon the second appraisal, showing an appraisal of at least $51,000 for this tract.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm a little confused. Where would a proposed tank go on the picture, Larry? Can you point that out?
I might be able to I see get the star. A little bit larger picture
yeah.
for you.
I see the star. We're not talking about the star, are we?
No, sir, we're talking actually about the area next to that.
Okay. We're talking about this area here.
That is correct.
The water tower?
Trying to get a larger picture up right now for you, Mayor.
Would be up.
If I can get the... Sarah, would you switch to the camera, please?
Well, I think it's that big, bigger center area, just right, to the right, to the right of the star. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, that's fine.
In fact, that looks a little bit better.
I wasn't sure why the star was there.
That star indicates the actual tract we would be purchasing if council authorized that purchase.
Right, and what we're looking at is actually coming into this area here with a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And having this area over here, having that right bank there would give us the additional area that we need for the stormwater control and still allow me to get a tank over in this area right here. If that line right there currently is my fence line, mm-hmm. and then this area is a little bit lower than my other property, but by doing some fill work there, I can locate a tank there. I can take the soil from this area and then make it work for us.
And is that on the upper left, is that actually the Mallard Lake Detention Facility, Larry?
Upper left would be right here,
mm-hmm.
and that is actually the SCDOT detention pond.
Oh, that's right.
That they created when they widened East Pine Log Road. That does flow into the Mallard Lake Pond in this direction right here. It's discharges right in that area right there.
And could you refresh our memory about the stormwater abatement? I think you mentioned the conversation with the county as well as with DOT.
Below this area is the Thoroughbred Run. It's a dirt road, leads into the county area. Then below that is the Willow Woods subdivision. And the county for years has had stormwater problems on Thoroughbred Run. The water coming from Mallard Lake actually cuts Thoroughbred Run and makes it impassable during major storms. They have asked us that any detention we can get north of East Pine Log, that they're requesting us to do that to try to help knock some of the peak off of Mallard Lake and then going into Thoroughbred Run.
And this would provide some of that detention?
This will help us, and it will also give me the additional property that I can get another water tank adjacent to the plant right there, so that we can kind of kill two birds with one stone with this.
Is this the only area around where you need to have it, Larry? Is there any other area around? It sounds like a lot of money for a real small piece of property. That's my only concern, and I know others have the same concern.
And Mayor, again, that certainly is a concern that council voiced at the August meeting. That's why we went forward with the appraisal by the McNeil Appraisal Service. We wanted to make sure that if we were purchasing the property, we were paying a fair price for it. If you go to the left of what's up on the screen right now, you'll see left of the tanks, there's a wooded area. And that, you know, going down on the photographs, actually headed north. And that
can we point this out so everyone can see what we're trying to see ourselves?
There we go. How's
that? Can you put your finger on it, please, Larry? The Reeder Forest.
This is Reeder's right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a 10-acre tract, and it's selling it over $1.5 million. And
this area right here,
they're just not accepting any offers less than their asking price. The tract on Pine Log was offered by Oswalt family that owns it, the Oswalt House Moving Company. They actually own that.
Mm-hmm.
And they hope to sell it for commercial purposes and have been asking $90,000 for it. When Larry and I looked at this, and particularly since we've been on notice about the stormwater issues, the request from DOT, the request from the county, we're actually getting letters from lawyers about stormwater these days, it seemed a good opportunity to see if we could purchase it and make it a part of that facility. And that's, you know, when McNeil's came in at $51,000, of course, that was significantly less than the initial asking price. And we saw this as an opportunity to pay a fair value and be able to incorporate possibly some of the stormwater runoff abatement measures that we're using right out the front door in this area as well to help us with the folks that are downstream from south of East Pine Log Road.
I have one question about the, about, I guess it's 533. Is that the house next to the property you're going to buy, Mr.?
That sounds right, Ms. Clyburn, yes.
Is that a lived-in house, or is it just a vacant piece of property?
That's actually a house that's occupied. I went there this evening.
Okay. Now, when you take dirt from the property that you want to buy and make that a low spot, what does that do to the property, to the yard next to that?
Actually, it will allow us to keep a high spot, and it won't create hardscape there. We would not develop that track. That's originally why we were thinking about it as open space, because it's a nice level area. If that was developed as a commercial area and hardscape was put there, the parking lot and so forth, or other development, that would create more runoff into the DOT detention facility that's south of Pine Log. So we're not, there's a nice wooded area there, and it's a level area. Between the Gold Star and our plant, there is a low area. So by having the level area, as Larry and I looked at with this property, it actually gives us the buffer that we need to do something in order to move our fence line and further develop the water plant.
I misunderstood. I thought he said he was going to take from this area to put into the other area to make it.
No, again, with that buffer, that gives us some freedom with our existing land to move out and do what we need to do in that storm detention area. It keeps buffer there, and it's not a developed area.
Am I to understand there's going to be a retaining pond north of the Pine Log? Is that what you're saying, or are you going to fill that area?
It may not actually be a retention or detention facility as much as it might be an opportunity for us to put some green infrastructure in, as we did in the parkways out in front of City Hall. To help slow the water run.
Yeah, well, that's a different issue, which we may want to talk about later. But is there any way to run a channel underneath Pine Log so it runs directly into the DOT?
What do we have there now, Larry?
The pipe that's under Pine Log right now is small enough that it actually creates an area right there that the water does back up in. It's kind of an unnamed detention area, if you would.
That's on our existing property?
That's on our existing property, yes, sir. And what we're trying to do, rather than getting the water faster across the road, the county is asking us to actually slow it up because of the peak that cuts Thoroughbred Run.
And that's what we're doing for, the Sand River headwaters by the big sponges we put outside.
Larry?
Yes, ma'am.
Does Millbrook still own some property in the Reeder?
I don't know if Millbrook owns the property north of Reeder or not. They did at one time, which is actually north of our property. The end of our property is not shown here. But they did own the property that was well north up to this direction here.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was concerned. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was once owned by Ms. Early. I think that was the Early property.
That's the Early property.
Early tract.
Right. That's right.
I believe that property today has been purchased by an individual.
Right. And I very well could be. I don't have any information beyond that.
Larry, excuse me. Getting back to a question here, is this area the best place if we were going to put another tank anywhere in Aiken? Is this the ideal place to put it in this area somewhere?
Or
necessary place to put it, I should say.
This is a very necessary place for it, Mayor. The plant that we're building over on Silver Bluff Road out. At Richardson's Lake Road,
right.
We'll have a tank on it, and will help us buffer that area. But we're also seeing pressure problems in this area of the city, along with the leaks that we're seeing there. And certainly what we're looking for is an additional buffer so that we can run our pumps longer. Currently what happens is once these tanks get below a certain level, we have to reduce the water that we're pumping out of them. And so what we end up with then is the severe pressure differential that we don't like to see. And from the research that we've done, we feel that is one of the problems we're seeing with all the leaks that we're having in the city right now.
Uh,
Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of items. Are we voting on 0.5 acres or 0.37?
0.37 is the information that I have from planning.
So in other words, we should get a 25% discount.
No, the tract, the size of the tract was appraised as the size of the tract.
That's 0.37?
What about
that tract was valued at $51,000, the size that it is.
What if the second estimate or appraisal comes in lower? Do we pay the lower
price? No, we would not close. We would just condition the contract that, you know, the second appraisal would have to show the $51,000. If that's what you're going to pay, then I think the appraisals need to be in agreement. If there's a lower number, you just have to renegotiate.
Why doesn't the appraisal price drive the cost? And I don't know. What I hear you saying is that we're going to get an appraisal, but it's got to be at least $51,000 or we're not going to buy it.
You have an appraisal for $51,000, and I know we're concerned about making sure we just pay the fair market price for the tract. So we would condition the resolution on the second appraisal showing that it was $51,000. If not, then we have a discrepancy. We need to go back to the drawing.
The land values in that area are $100,000 an acre, over $100,000?
Yes. And again, the appraisal is for this tract only.
I understand, but...
Right. And you've got 10 acres next door that are well over $1 million.
They don't count. They obviously don't count. They're in a different ballpark. The residential
units...
They're
right next door to the plan as well.
I understand. Well, but the residential units that are in there, is that property assessed at over $100,000 an acre?
I didn't have appraisals done on that. I had appraisals done on the tract adjacent to our water plant. And I know on the other side of our water plant that forest is appraising in those kind of ranges.
Well, I
got a question for Larry.
Go ahead.
That's okay.
Go
ahead.
Let me know when you throw. Why, trying to figure out why it's necessary to have that area with the star before you can build a tank in the property that we already own.
What we're looking at right there is to try to provide some additional buffer for the residents in the area. Obviously, a third tank there is going to have to come out toward the road in this particular area. Mm-hmm. And as I was alluding to a while ago, we need that bank right there because we are going to bring dirt in and have to fill that area some. So we're going to have to make sure that we can get on our property, we can remove the dirt off of our property to make certain that we still have some stormwater control. We're not planning on digging out the property where the star is. We want that for our buffer. But certainly if I dig out the area right there immediately adjacent to that property and then build up in this area and put a third tank, then that would impact the neighbors if we don't try to help give them some protection there. It's more of a buffer for us right there and will allow us to do two things. One's related to stormwater and the other's related to another tank.
So is it your professional opinion that we can't put a tank in there unless we buy this lot?
We could certainly put a tank in there, Mr. Dwar. The thing that I would be concerned about is that if we do put a tank in there and we don't provide some additional stormwater capacity through excavation on the bank adjacent to that property, then the county is going to have some discussions with us of... not trying to at least slow the water down some north of Pine Log. That is one of their major concerns.
I just, for what it's worth, I get the impression that this is a solution before a problem. When we first talked about this, we were simply going to buy it, and the basis on that time when I asked you, Larry, was that we can use it for detention, which, of course, applies to every vacant lot in the city of Aiken. I just have some concerns. I mean, we don't have the second appraisal. I thought the last council meeting we were going to come back with a second appraisal. Is that not correct? We don't have a second appraisal?
Well, I think we ought to defer decisions at least till the second appraisal comes in. I mean,
well, we could certainly do that. It's not a problem. The snapshot that we took in August. You certainly expressed those concerns, Mr. Dwyer, and that's why we went back and took a good hard look at this property to see if it was necessary to purchase it. And as I originally said, we looked at that as green space. It really is appropriate buffer because we've got a low area there. And if we try to go in and fix that and then somebody develops the area with the gold star, the concern is we've created a funnel and a problem instead of a solution. That's kind of the vision.
We're 2 months into our new budget year, and this is the first I've heard of a new tank in that area, unless I missed something, and that's entirely possible. I know the new tank down to support Woodside and Hounds Lake, but I have not heard a new tank here.
And I think when we started in the budget year, we certainly were experiencing some issue with leaks, and I think we've, particularly with the watering season of July, August, and now most of September, I think that I'm in a different posture than I was, you know, back in March when I was doing the budget. I just see, based on the information that we're obtaining, that we're going to have to come up with some serious long-term solutions for making sure that instead of just triaging leaks, we put a procedure in place to hopefully keep the leaks from even happening by not continuing to stress our water system.
Well, I'm not an engineer, I'll tell you that up front. But I don't have the impression from all of the leaks that I've been dealing with, which have been increasing in the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. My impression is that they're caused either because they weren't fixed properly at the last time they broke, or because the materials are not lasting as long as the developer told us they would. Until tonight, this is the first time I have heard, I've related the issue to this lot, mm-hmm. to water leaks in Woodside and Kensington and Hounds Lake and other areas of the community. I know we're going to talk about water, but I don't think we want to get into it tonight.
Well, I think it's premature to get into it tonight because, you know, the issues that we have with our water system, we believe, based on the research we've done since we first started talking about water leaks, are far deeper than what first appears. I don't necessarily agree with the assertion that water repairs are not being done properly. I think we've got some plastic pipe that's under stress and is, we believe, experiencing variances in water pressure. It's much like having a credit card that you don't need anymore because it's expired, and you take it and you bend it back and forth and you bend it back and forth, and finally it breaks. And we've got a system under stress, so we believe that we are repairing one area, but with the system remaining under stress, then a new area then fails. Yeah. So we're trying to do as opportunities come to us is assess the value in that in the long-term plan to address our water system infrastructure and hopefully take steps that will get us past, you know, what we find ourselves in.
Let me say before I go on that I am not critical of our folks repairing the water leaks, and I don't want to be accused of doing that. And on the contrary, the comments that I get from people are that the response is very quick. Except recently that the response has slowed down, and it's just a case of having more leaks to repair than we have people to repair them. So I'm not casting any aspersions on the quality of the work that we do. I'd much rather, before we talk about buying this lot of land, I'd much rather have a big picture of what the issue is and what we need to do. Because I mean, this is a lot of money to pay for this piece of land. We're again, we have two attorneys on staff, and we use somebody else that's going to get the buyer's commission and the seller's commission on this thing. I'm not sure I understand that. I don't know who asked who to sell. Did they offer the land to us, or did we feel the need to go ask them to sell it to us? The impression is they offered it to us.
The land is posted for sale. And
yes.
It's listed, and that's when Larry and I entered in a discussion of, you know, whether or not it would be appropriate for the city to purchase the lot. Would it be helpful to our efforts not only with stormwater runoff abatement, but also with future plans as far as dealing with the variance in our water system pressure? And Larry felt very strongly that it would be a good idea if it was available, and it was available for a fair price. We were not interested at $90,000. Because we're not buying it for a commercial operation.
Well, that's precisely my point.
We've got a declared goal of council through the strategic plan and the goals that are adopted at Horizons that we look at these kind of issues. And, you know, opportunities pop up. And we want to make sure that we continue having a vision for long-range planning that are going to benefit the citizens and hopefully address issues that we're experiencing. And I think So many folks that I've had the opportunity to talk with have just talked about this brutal summer of 2011. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you get a monthly report, and I've discussed with several of you and several citizens as well. You know, it used to be we'd get about 300 leaks a year. Now it's 1,100. So if our leaks have tripled, it's time to take a cold, sober look at what's occurring and what we need to be doing in the future to make sure we're addressing that. You know, is it the materials we have? Is it the system design? Is it something we're experiencing that we can do something about? And it's just, it's interesting in this job, just the few months that I've been in it, we kind of have a problem that arises, and then we have these kind of choices for potential solutions, and many times they involve very long-range planning. So, I mean, you're absolutely right, Mr. DeWar. We don't have a tank in the budget this year. But we, once this property became available, because the reader property is no way in our price range.
Well, and that's what I'm having a hard time with, because when you look at the acreage, you're talking about $120,000 an acre.
Well, my point is we can't afford to buy a 10-acre tract from Reader because they'll only sell it as a whole tract.
Sure.
And again, this became available. I talked with staff, and it seemed like something that would be appropriate, particularly because it gave us the breathing room we needed from the residential area and then made it viable, as Larry has shared, to put a tank on that lot. And if it's viable, then, you know, we want to pursue that opportunity. We do have funds to purchase the lot. We're spending $50,000. We're not spending $1.5 million.
Now, those would not be open space funds, I would hope.
Again, we're not planning on developing that, so it is, you know, it would fall within what we call open space, green space in the city. We're trying to get breathing room there. We may use some of it. We have funds available. We would not necessarily have to spend the open space money.
Yeah, this would be a hard sell to the community to use open space money for that smaller parcel of land.
Right. I think we've got a choice here, guys. Larry, how much experience have you had in this kind of thing? How many years? In public works and
I can go back there about 15 years ago when we installed the pump over on Robin Road, the dirt road, where we purchased property over there. And at that point in time, we paid about $50,000 for an acre, and that's about 15 years ago. So prices have escalated.
Well, Dick asked you a question about are you sure, your professional opinion, that we need to do this? And if we do it, we need to do it properly. If water is going to run into the road or whatever and cause us problems, we don't want that.
That's correct, Mayor. And what I'm looking at and what I've suggested to Mr. Pierce is long range. He and I have had several discussions about why are we having all of the leaks. We've looked at materials. We've talked to material suppliers. I've talked to my staff that actually are repairing the leaks. I've done a lot of research on the internet, and I've got a meeting scheduled in a couple of weeks to go talk to my counterpart at Greenwood CPW, which is a much larger system than ours. I've talked to other folks across the state, and everything is pointing to the fact that we're not able to maintain a good pressure level in our system. We are supplying our citizens with water, but Aiken is unique in that we have a tremendous draw on our system for irrigation. And we see that, and I have charts I can bring and show you if you would like to see them, but we see that on a daily basis, and even the monthly basis, the changes in pressure is phenomenal. We have a series of 3 months in the summer where we have a 40 PSI swing. That's half of our pressure that we lose due to irrigation. And the piping, as Mr. Pierce indicated, just like a credit card, the more it flexes, it is going to break. And Mr. DeWar, you are correct. Our folks will go fix a leak, and it's good there, and that leak is fixed, but then that pipe's flexing more, and it will break somewhere else. And that's what we're seeing. Now, why do I pick this spot in answer to Mr. DeWar's question? We have obtained the property through a developer's agreement from Powder House Landing for a fourth well to feed Pine Log Road. That fourth well, in combining it with another tank at this site, will give us a long-range capability of another 1 million gallons a day. That will certainly go a long way toward smoothing out the pressure problems we have there. we have six booster pumps. I cannot use six booster pumps with only two tanks.
But we will have another well at the same site along with a tank if we approve that.
That's correct. Now, the well, when I say same site, Powder House Landing is down Old Powder House Road, at Old Powder House Road, and the actual site is on Powder House Road where the well is. And that was approved in developer's agreement by council that we would get that property. And I do not have the numbers on how much that property cost us at this point.
But, Larry, the plan was to hook that well into this tank.
That well definitely is going into this plant right here, and that gives us four wells, which will boost the capability of that plant by 1 million gallons a day.
You mentioned Town Creek. Is there a plan for a tank on Town Creek? Is that
you have one?
Town Creek, we have one tank there, and long range plans, Mr. Moki, would be to add a second tank there. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what Mr. Pierce and I have talked about. We only have one tank at that facility with four wells feeding in, so our water is going in and out very rapidly. We would like to have a little bit more storage there.
Is this for the Gem Lakes area?
That is correct, and that's the we're not even looking at another tank right there in the near future, in the near term, because we will have the Silver Bluff Road facility online. Not next summer, but next fall we should have that facility online. So we are going to have another summer of working hard to stay abreast of everything. But long-range plans, trying to get the city in a position to where we're not having these problems, we'll call for a tank here, and this is through the research that we've been doing. That's why y'all have not heard about it before. We're going to be looking at another tank at Town Creek, and certainly the Silver Bluff plant, which was approved in the budget, will have a tank there. So we're trying to ring our major water users with the supplies and facility that we need to make it work.
May I make a suggestion, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
That is that we postpone this sale until we get
the second
appraisal, and that gives us time to look further into whether we need it or not, and if so, where it needs to go. And I think we could probably get more information from you, Larry, as to why this spot versus somewhere else, and so on. I would rather do that than have it go down tonight.
Oh, well, that's absolutely no problem.
That's fine.
Mr. Mayor, may I add something? Larry, let me just say that I've known you for a long time. And as I listen to you talk about our infrastructure, the question comes with me whether we become reactive or proactive. And certainly you've seen enough of these problems that you want to become proactive, which is why we've been so successful in this community with so many of our projects that whether it's infrastructure or development or whatever you want to label it. But certainly I'm willing to wait for another meeting for this bid, but I support your efforts in terms of being proactive. I don't want to pay $51,000 for this small piece of land, but I think that when we come back, we're going to find out that this is a suitable spot for this this piece of property, and I support it.
And I think I'd like to see some more information on your assertion that the leaks are caused, and you didn't use the word predominantly, but I'd love to see what adjective you would use, that the leaks are caused by pressure drops as opposed to the material simply wearing out. Or other such causes. I'm not sure council is aware of how bad our water problems are, and I know, again, we're going to get into that sometime in the near future, but if we're going to bring this back to council soon, then I think we need to be brought up to speed. I'll support anything you say you need to get the water supply and the sewer supply to the residents. They deserve a good quality, dependable system. But I want to do it for the least amount of money. And that's one of the red flags that I saw on this. And I just don't think we should be using open space money to for something that is more infrastructure than it is open space. But I would appreciate it when you come back if we could have more details on your engineering assessment of the water leak causes and so forth.
One last question, Larry. How much of that property is the city's property?
If you look, Mr. Mokey, a little hard to show right here. It's hard to see it, but it follows right here.
Okay.
That is the city property, and it squares off and then comes back down this way. There's this large ditch that comes back up through this area. That large ditch comes back up through this area, actually cuts across the corner of that property and comes through here.
Okay. And again, this is a work in progress. This is information we're gathering. As we gather this information, we're trying to keep council informed. You know, this lot purchase was just another example of was there potentially an opportunity, and that's why we have the additional information. I mean, literally, we were in meetings as recently as Friday talking about actions that need to be taken.
I'm not sure a couple of week delay is going to cause any big problem.
Yet. It's not a problem. Most of the
okay, why don't we? I got a technical question for Larry. About either 2 or 3 years ago when the Silver Bluff plant came up, we took a look at your citywide pressure distribution study that you did. What is your next update for that, or have you done it since you and I talked? It's been almost 2 years.
The update is due this winter. We use a consultant for that, and they run a complete analysis on our pressures. We've been getting some hydrant pressures, especially in the Woodside area, to fine-tune it, and then we'll be having them run an update this winter for us. I like to get that every 2 to 3 years to see where we are.
And you and I discussed the north side, how far out of town we need to go with the next tank or well or whatever, depending on how far out of town we go for the fire protection. And fire protection is what it's all based around.
We run into the center fire department going up Highway 1 toward the airport. I think Director Frommer would be able to give you more information on just where that line is. But as far as our water facility that way, we do have Shaw's Creek. And the only issue that we've seen with the Shaw's Creek water, it's very good quality, is on long-term drought. We have had to use the Mason Branch Reservoir to supplement it. Now, I'm glad to report with the rains that we've been getting, we were able to shut off Mason Branch. So we are recovering now.
I think you need to, in the next week or two, you need to take a long technical look at this and be sure we don't build ourselves in a box here if we need water out that way. So if you just look again at it and be sure this is the appropriate place for a tank or some other further place out.
And the winter review is going to be timely because we are in the process of closing the loop on the water line out that area. We did that out, and that's in process.
In the Woodside area.
In the Woodside, yeah, that is. Okay. But so let's continue this and get I think we got a technical issue here as much as we have a price issue.
I'd like to have a motion and a second to continue.
I move
this.
We continue.
Okay. I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. All in favor? Show of hands. Passes. Okay. The new business, first reading.
First reading of an ordinance
to annex 1738 Two Notch Road and zone it RS-10. Mr. Pierce,
please. Mayor, the title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.27 acre of land, more or less owned by Judith W. McNeely and located at 1738 Two Notch Road in the zone the same, residential single family RS-10. Ms. McNeely did apply for annexation of this property. It is a single family residence. Planning Department determined it was in the city limits, and the Planning Commission reviewed this annexation request and voted unanimously to recommend annexing the property. For City Council consideration on first reading is this ordinance to annex property at 1738 Two Notch Road and for it to be zoned RS-10.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I move for approval, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 126 Vivian Drive and zone it RS-15. Mr. Pierce, please.
Title of the ordinance, Mayor, is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisted of 1.18 acres of land, more or less owned by Ellen and Kevin Stanisewski and located at 126 Vivian Drive, and is owned the same residential single-family RS-15. They actually applied for an annexation, Mayor, and own the property at 129 Vivian Drive. It's adjacent to the Laurel Dine at the Hams Lake Golf Course. They've requested it be zoned RS-15 residential zoning. Planning Commission did review the annexation application and voted unanimously to approve the annexation request and for the property to be zoned RS-15 residential. For council consideration tonight on first reading is the ordinance to annex property at 126 Vivian Drive and zone it RS-15. And those are my neighbors, so please do it.
Oh, okay.
I move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor. I have a question, okay. since they're Richard's neighbors.
Any discussion?
I asked them this before. When we annex somebody into the city, I talked about green barrels and so forth, and somebody called from Aiken Estates, and they wanted to come into the city. They came into the city. We said, thank you, we love you, and now pay us this amount of money. I don't know what it was for the... Did we charge them for the blue barrel or just the green barrel?
I think we took care of that, Mr. Coakley. Would you answer Council Member DeWar's question? Because Mr. Coakley came up with a good solution.
Oh, good. Because I know there are some people that I've actually paid, and I just didn't think they should.
What we've done is offered them a refurbished one for free. We collect several back from other customers that have multiple ones. They move away. So usually in stock, we have several that are refurbished.
You're talking blue or green?
Blues are free for everybody.
And greens? And
green is $50 for the barrel, but we offer them a refurbished one for free.
They want a brand new one, they have to buy the brand new one, but we can give them a refurbished one for free. So they have a choice.
Okay, I guess I can live with that. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
We have a motion. Okay.
I had two and you took one. Why was that?
Did you give her the $50?
By mistake. We are constantly updating the list of who's got more than one barrel. And there must have been some confusion of whether you were supposed to have two or not.
But I'm sure, Council Member Clyburn, that Mr. Coakley's going to have a conversation with staff first thing in the morning. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got motion and second. All in favor?
Mayor, I did not get who made the second.
DeWar.
I second it.
Okay. Everybody was first, I think. Okay. All right, item three, resolution for acceptance of a deed of dedication of the Aiken Center Water Main. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing acceptance of a deed of dedication for a 6-inch water line, including fire hydrants and permanent easement from the Aiken County Commission on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, located at 1105 Drake Highway. Herb Maddox, who's the director of the facility, is here tonight. Engineering and Utilities Department Director Larry Morris met with him and discussed this current situation. So far, the main was being maintained by the Aiken Center. Our policy, though, is that water main maintenance requires the city to own and maintain the mains up to the customer's water meter. As you'll see from the memo from Larry that I provided you, he is recommending that we do accept this main into our system. So for council consideration is the resolution accepting the Aiken Center water main into our city water utility system.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
Mayor, I move that we accept the Aiken Center water main into our city water utility system and accept this deed of dedication.
Okay. Second. We have a second also. Discussion?
We're good to see Herb Maddox up there.
Only question. Yeah, we see him. Hey, thank you for being here.
We're one of his leaks, he says. Thank you.
One of your leaks. How did that happen that we are just now realizing this?
Oh,
you've been there for a while.
He's been there a while.
I can only say that the parents were notified
and don't. Oh, okay. Well, so be it. It's over now. Okay. Show of hands, people approval? Okay, passes unanimously. Item four is approval of the funds for an all-accessible playground at Chesterfield Street and South Boundary Avenue, which, of course, is our library. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Glenn Parker has provided us with a memo. Council will recall in the third cent that we're collecting for capital sales tax projects. We do have a new playground facility at the library playground. Glenn gave a presentation along with the Leadership Aiken County class of 2010, as well as the Aiken Moms Club. They took this on as the one, their service project for that year to raise funds. This will be an all-accessible playground. You do have a rendition of the playground in your materials at page 102. We do have it up on the screen. It's a little hard to see, but if you look at page 102, you can see a better rendition of it. Since this is in the 017 money, as you did with the computers for the officers' patrol vehicles, we're asking for the ability to go ahead and advance the money at this time. And I think we had in here $153,572.44, but the actual list of the project has $155,000. So we would ask that you authorize us to advance up to $155,000 for this project. It is on the 017 money, the third round of capital sales tax money. And Council will recall we did discuss at Horizons that if we could go ahead and proceed with this and have the price on the equipment that was within budget, that we go ahead and proceed with that. So we brought it to you for approval at this time.
Okay, do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to really move that we approve this. Right away. I think it's long overdue.
Okay, so that's your motion.
Did you serve on that board at one time? Did you not do it?
Yes. Yep. Well, second. On the Friends of the Library board, yes.
Library.
Okay, we have a motion from Beverly. We have a second discussion. I just have one little question. Maybe I'm misreading something. I see the price tag on the first page we have. Now, I go over to the second page, and I see a price tag of $179,465. It says this amount, which was raised by the group, $24,000, is to be combined with $155,000 to give $179,000. Mm-hmm. What am I confusing?
The playground and the park amenities. The actual playground equipment.
Okay.
The total is on page 100 of your materials, and it shows the $153,572.44.
Yeah.
But that's actually for the playground equipment. That's what we put in the capital sales tax project money. We do have the additional money that was collected through the fundraising. That'll provide additional amenities for the playground structures there that would not be the playground equipment.
Installation and all.
That is correct. Also, Mr. Parker's here if you wanted to ask him what that money is.
Well, I was just, I guess the $179 is the total price.
Collected.
Where's Glenn?
He's here.
Glenn, just a quick answer to that would be fine. I was just seeing the two figures. And
155 and 24,465 equals 179.
Yeah,
that's
that
correct.
Must be the total price.
Correct. The 153 is the playground and the surfacing. The balance of that that's been raised by the
right,
two groups.
Right. Yeah.
We've got to create a sidewalk that will bring us from the parking lot to the unit. Yeah. If we can, then the Leadership Aiken County group still raising money through a couple different ways. If they can raise enough money, we're going to replace the little plate, the little gazebo shelter that's there now, because we'll probably lose it, because this unit is actually about three times the size of the current unit that's there.
Right.
So that's benches to go in the park. Whatever they continue to raise will go directly to those kind of things at
okay.
the park.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just have one comment. Could we periodically get an update on where we stand in the sales tax expenditure?
Absolutely.
Because this is what the second or third that we're borrowing in advance, and there's no problem. Maybe if we can get an update.
So absolutely.
We can track it. Thank
you. Okay. No other discussion. Let's show of hands, please, for approval. Passes unanimously. Okay. Under petitions, sanitary sewer evaluation survey results. Mr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mayor. Larry Morris is here, and he has several items to share with us as a result from the sanitary sewer evaluation survey. Again, as we begin to plan for the expenditure of our third cent, the third round of capital sales tax monies, there are several phases of sewer lines in Crawlsend Park. We did discuss at Horizons, and if I'm not mistaken, Mayor, that was at the January 2010 Horizons, about the importance of identifying, with this money coming in, the appropriate place to start with our infrastructure replacement. We have a GPS system, and we kind of identified hotspots for requests for service for sanitary sewer improvements. And the sanitary sewer evaluation survey that Larry's going to talk about in just a minute here was undertaken in Crossland Park as well as in the Cardinal and Oriole sections of the city. We can see from this that there will be a need to expand the scope of the SSES, if you will. We did put in the issues and updates memo back over the summer that when we were conducting the tests in the Crossland Park area, we actually found five sewers that were completely blocked. There was just tree roots, just solid in the pipes. So it was just by sheer miracle that we didn't have a backup in those Crossland Park houses. So we actually were able to repair those sewer lines before we had a backup. So in effect, the sewer survey paid for itself just in Crossland Park alone. So Larry's here to tell you about this in more detail and let you know our path forward. Larry?
Thank you. I've got just a few slides to show you and take any questions that you might have. The survey that we started out with was focused on two main areas. And if you look at this slide, you see the area of Crossland Park, which is up in this area, and then the area, the Cardinal Oriole area. Those are the two main sites that we focused on. The data that I have for you tonight, just a few slides, is basically with the Crossland area, just to kind of show you what we're doing and what we have. The information that is included in your packet actually has dollars for remediation for both of the areas. The good news is, as you'll read in your packet, there's nothing that we have to go out and just immediately do. There's nothing that's going to fall through. We don't have to go start, you know, panic-stricken rebuilding manholes. What is recommended that within the next 1 to 2 years that we do have about 90 manholes that we need to look at. We need to look at some other areas of lines. The five blockages that we found in Crossland Park that we were able to clear were not due to structural defects, they were due to grease. And that continues to be our biggest enemy right there. Crossland Park, we looked at 213 manholes. We inspected just 10.6 miles of pipe, and that's basically the pipe coming out of the manholes. Five were rated as five. If you had a five as a manhole, that's not a real good rating. 25 rated as one. 110 defects we found due to smoke testing. Smoke testing, you set up a machine on a manhole, block the manhole on one side, and let the smoke go on the other side. Wherever you see smoke coming out of the ground, there's a problem. And here's what we found. This is an example five rated manhole. The red roof right there, this is on Highway 1. The red roof that you see is the video warehouse on Highway 1. Immediately under it with the white and the red on it is the McDonald's right there. Of course, behind it is the Bilo Center. There's what the manhole looks like on the ground. Pretty obviously, there's some problems there. That is a driveway entrance. That's why the curb is down. The curb did not fail that way. But the manhole itself, the concrete is cracking because of some settlement around the manhole. Looking down into it, this is what we typically see in these older manholes. Brick manholes, the mortar is pretty much gone out of the brick, so they start to get loose. We did not give you a picture of some of the ones with grease encrusted and stuff like that. It's too close after dinner to put those up. But this is typically what we see in these older manholes. The U-shaped object there toward the top of the picture is a step. We do not use those steps when we go into these manholes. You can see it's corroded to the point where it would be dangerous to use. One of the recommendations in the SSES is to get rid of all those steps
and not try to put any step back in. How would we rehab this manhole? A couple of different ways could be done. We could go into it and actually coat it with about 2 inches of cementous material, which is acid resistant, and that would last probably another 20 to 25 years. We could also go into it and use a fiberglass layup, much as they build boats and vehicles, and do a fiberglass layup inside it. That would last probably a 50-year lifespan. Sewage does not harm fiberglass. In a previous existence in Kentucky, I installed a fiberglass outfall that was 72 inches in diameter, and that was done in the early 1980s. There's not been any problem with it since that point in time. It still looks brand new. So fiberglass is a very good
choice. What's the cost difference there?
Cost difference, fiberglass is going to be about twice what the cementous material would be. So there is a significant cost difference to it. The pipes that you see coming in, nothing wrong with those. All we would do is just either put the cement material or the fiberglass around them. We would have to rebuild the bottom. That's a little tough to see there, but that bottom is starting to eat out pretty good. We would not leave it. This is what our smoke testing looked like at that spot. You can see the smoke coming out of the street right there. That's where it's going actually through the brick and coming up to let us know that there is a problem in that area. We found a lot of defects in the area, and what we did once, when we found a defect that we couldn't tie down to a manhole or something, we actually used a global positioning satellite system and located exactly where those were, and here's what we were looking at then. Missing clean-out lid at that home. If you notice, look at the upper left of the home where it's got the smokestack coming out. Those are normal vents. Every home has vents tied into the sewer. That's how your toilets work. That's how your sinks work. Without those vents, your house does not function. So when we were putting the smoke through there, we made real sure that both public safety and our citizens knew that the smoke would be coming out. Broken clean-out lid, we find those. We can fix those very easily. We just went out and put a new lid on it. That's where we get a lot of stormwater into our system. Okay, Cardinal Oriole area, I don't have all the information yet, but we did look at 135 manholes, 5.8 miles of pipe. I just don't have the ratings yet. But notice, we only found 24 defects there due to smoke testing, where up in Carlson Park we found over 100. So what we're looking at is the difference in a newer system, which is Cardinal Oriole, versus the system that is in Carlson Park. Carlson's Park history, it was supposed to be an area with septic tanks. The heavy clay soil up there, tanks started failing within months of people moving into the homes in the early 50s. So a system had to be installed in the backyards in a hurry. We are reaping the benefit of that. It's lasted this long, but we do have to go in and repair it now. So with that, any questions the council may have?
Yeah, Larry, I have a couple of questions. Do we have the money to make the repairs that we need to make?
Is that sales tax,
capital tax money?
Yes, sir. And I apologize for interrupting, Mr. Dwyer. We are planning, since we do not have immediate needs, but needs within the next 1 to 2 years. We're looking at using our next 1 cent sales tax, as we call it, our 0.17 sales tax.
Okay.
And that is where we will get the funds for this. The funds that are recommended in the draft report that you see, which will be finalized, is approximately $300,000 to work on these two areas. Now, that takes care of manholes, clean outs, it takes care of smoke defects such as this. What that doesn't take care of is any land work that we have to do. We were trying to get the best bang for our buck for this study. We've spent about $115,000 on this portion of the study so far. And so we did not have a lot of funds that we wanted to go in and televise lines. We want to fix our manholes, fix problems where we know we've got stormwater and leaks, and then we can start looking at line work.
And you're going next to Union Street, Barnwell, Pendleton, and Park. Do you have a game plan for the rest of the city? Are there areas that you don't need to go to? For example, do you need to do anything in Hounds Lake?
There are areas that we do not have problems with. Bringing this back up, we are going to the old downtown core. And that's this area.
Yep, makes sense.
We have done a lot of televising in that area due to problems that we have had. There's a one section on Richland that we just televised a couple of weeks ago that the sewer is flowing fine, but we keep getting backups. We went in and televised it. There's no pipe. It is a hole in the ground. The pipe is totally eroded away. So, yes, we're going to get in and work on those, and we'll find those with our camera shots that we're doing.
How long will this program go on?
Right now, we have well over 200 miles of sewer. I don't anticipate having to do this in areas such as the newer areas of Woodside especially. We don't need to be looking at it. Our plastic sewers that are in the ground, we don't need to be looking at those. There are better materials. The joints are better. So once you get over into the areas, DDR Plantation, we won't be looking there. Foxhaven, no reason to go there. So we can subtract those out. We're going to concentrate downtown. We want to hit Kalmia Hill. We're certainly going to look at the manholes in Hounds Lake and see how they look, and into the Boardman Road area, because those are also old. Any area that we know we have vitrified clay pipe in, we will be hitting those. So our game plan next is to hit our worst area, and we are mapping where we've had the most complaints.
And this is equipment that we purchased?
No, sir.
No, it's rental equipment.
This is rental equipment. The camera system that we're using, that our consultants are using, is from the Q's Corporation, and the camera itself costs $15,000. Very high maintenance item. We don't really want to do that. We will be looking at a pole camera, but one that's much less expensive with less maintenance.
Were we going to buy a truck?
Yeah. Now let's go back to the horizon.
In the future, we will be looking at a camera truck. We have a camera that we look at the small services with, and we have that equipment now. The equipment that was used for this is not like that equipment. It's a camera mounted on a pole with remote sensing. It's tied into computers. The pictures that you saw there were taken by that camera.
Thank you, Larry. This is great information. I appreciate it. Good job.
I think it was Horizons 010, the first meeting, and we need to go back to what our ground rules there are, what the guidelines were. One, we were going to purchase another high-pressure washing truck, and we've done that, correct?
That is done, and it's we have personnel assigned to it every day.
It's working, so that's been helping us.
Yes, sir.
Second thing is we would say we were going to do just what you finished doing, and we appropriated the money for both of us to do this as well, do the survey as well as purchase the truck. I mean the high-pressure truck.
The money was appropriated for the truck. We did spend that. We've got the money for this, and
yes,
we've got about, I'm sorry.
Well, I can't remember the amount either.
I cannot remember the number for downtown, Mr. Ebner. I can get
there's
that
some money
for
in
you.
There to do downtown.
There's money for that. In the coming budget year, Mr. Pierce and I will be talking about whether or not we need to go ahead with a full camera system. As you recall, when we talked about that at Horizons, that is, you can spend anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 on that. Very high maintenance item. And at this point in time, we don't really feel we need that. We want to get, to use an old cliche, we want to get the low-hanging fruit. We want to fix the manholes. We want to fix the areas that we know we've got smoke coming out of the ground first.
And there was a discussion not only at the Horizons of in January of 10, but I had discussions with the previous city manager. My experience in the industrial side, we wouldn't purchase that equipment due to the high maintenance And when, you know, once you do the survey like Larry has had done here, that lasts for a number of years, and then your more economical camera, you can go in and check areas. So I haven't changed my mind on that yet, but that's an awfully expensive piece of equipment. It takes pretty sophisticated people to run it, or at least maintain it, I'll say. Running is not a problem, but sophistication. A couple other things. In the budget, we didn't put money in there for that. I guess my concern is when they did all of this checking in Crossing Park, how many more miles of pipe or thousands of feet of backyard pipe do we need to move to the street?
At least two phases. We're right now designing our sixth phase. I want at least three more phases there, and then we'll have, I'm going to guesstimate, between 40% and 50% out of the backyards. We've already done five phases where we renewed pipes in the backyards, and those pipes were renewed with plastic, or we actually horizontal drilled and we pulled plastic in. We're not seeing the problems with those. Grease doesn't stick as bad to it, nor do roots intrude, so I don't plan on moving those out front.
The Aldridge Street replacement that was part of the streetscape is one of those phases that was...
Well, those other four or five phases, will that finish Crossing Park up, or that just gets us a pat? You know, when can we say we've got it all done? Are we two, three, 4 years away? Or?
We're at least 3 years away from having it all done.
And then that Crossing Park would be brought up, if you will, to today's standards.
That's my hope. Okay. When you see 216 manholes, that's a lot of sewer that we've got to deal with right there.
Except for the pipes that are still in the backyard. You're not...
Well, that's what... No, I was talking about backyard pipe just now.
We have done already, Mr. DeWar, we've already done five phases where we did replace pipe in the backyard in place.
Yeah, but some you just said, I thought, you left in the backyard, you just put plastic pipe in.
That is correct. The last...
It's not going to be moved to...
No, we won't move that. Okay. That pipe's in good shape. The last phase, as Mr. Pierce just stated, was to move the Aldrich Street pipe out front. We had so many obstacles in the backyard right there, we were actually better off to move it out front.
No, I'm all for doing it because we don't have to buy many houses to pay for this stuff, and we haven't bought a house now in, what, a year and a half from sewage backup?
No, it's been more recent than that. But we haven't, since that last house, we haven't had to buy it.
Well, the last house was bought for a different reason, I think. The one where the school zone was.
That was the one we needed.
The other thing that I would, I guess at Horizons, again, now that we've got this under our belt, Mr. Pierce, if we could take a look at maybe Mr. Morris preparing a little longer scope now. We've got some experience how to do this and what it costs, and take a look at the next 3 or 4 years to see what we need to do that. Practically speaking, the last update on 017 local option 3, we're about into 2014 or late 2013 for any money, and that puts us almost 3 years down the road to do any of this. So I think we need to discuss that at Horizons.
You mean with the advancements that we've made?
Huh?
You mean with the advancements we've made? You're paying
if we make including the advances and stuff we get down there. So our interest rate's pretty darn cheap at 0.0-something interest rate. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to kill us. But
like 0.23.
But I think at Horizons we need to see some money and what it would take to get on a two-year schedule to start this. The other thing I will caution you, I've had experience with relining sewers at industrial plants. Fiberglass is good as long as there's not a fairly high concentration of sulfuric acid or hydrochloric. Both of those things will eat up fiberglass. It eats up the fiber and the glass cracks. So just be sure we don't have any chemical plants somewhere down the road, you know, down as we collect it. Like, I don't know who's out there, but
in the regular collection pipes, we do not have the hydrochloric acid problem. The only problem that you normally see is a very weak sulfuric acid. That's what causes the crown corrosion in the pipes. And we have not seen a problem with that with either fiberglass or plastic.
Okay. The PVC I'll tolerate on, but fiberglass won't. It'll eventually just eat the fibers out of it. But no, it's a very good technical report. You feel good about the report? What they said here is what they did?
They've done very well for us on that. We will get a finalized report. I did want to bring this to council just to give you an update on where we were and what we were doing.
And I've already got one of our personnel that is working in the Crawson area to decide how we're best going to move forward. So that's kind of where we are.
Well, thanks for the follow-up in the last 2 years. There's been a lot of good work done. So thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much, and your staff. Okay. Next item is Accommodation Tax Committee carryover funds. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council has at page 117 of your materials the memo from Peggy Penland, who's the chair of our Accommodations Tax Committee. They had approximately, as of September 8th of this year, $45,845.40 in rollover funds from fiscal year 2010 to 2011 that could be appropriated. You have a list of items that include Battle of Aiken, Aiken Downtown Development, Citizens Park, Aiken Falls Steeplechase, Woods Promotion, 302 Polo USPA Silver Cup, Aiken Trials, Aiken Polo Club, Exhibition and Arts Center Marketing, Antiques in the Heart of Aiken, Juneteenth Center for African American History, Art, and Culture, and the Aiken Bluegrass Festival. And the committee has recommended to council that you approve the amounts set forth in the list. That totals $33,511.06. That's recommended for funding. And the committee has asked that we hold $12,334.34 in a contingency fund for any new requests that would come this current fiscal year. As far as accommodation tax appropriations by the committee, we will have packets available, we think, the first week of October, and those will be sent out. And they have to be filed by January of next year for consideration by the committee. So for council action tonight is approval of the Accommodation Tax Committee recommendations for the appropriation of $33,511.06 and holding $12,334.34 in reserve for any new requests this fiscal year. Glenn Parker, who is our Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Director, is here. He meets with the Accommodations Tax Committee and can answer any questions the council may have regarding this request from the committee.
Okay.
I have one question, one just one up.
Glenn?
I was going to ask if there's any way you can give the Juneteenth $334.34 more and save just the $12,000.
Which one's that?
One that you give $916.91.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Let me look at their request.
Bring it up to $1,000. To bring it up to $1,000.
A little bit more than $1,000.
A little bit. Oh.
Yeah. The original request was, I think, over $9,000.
Right. Yeah, the money's there. If council would like to do that. The money's there to do that.
Well, I've got a question. Where do all these numbers come from? I mean, like Citizens Park bid fees, you know, $2,292.27. Is this a pure proportional distribution?
Correct. It was. The committee baited that how, you know, each individual wanted how much they should increase it, so they decided to raise it by a certain percentage, each of the individual fees. The ones they kicked out, though, if they bumped it up a certain percentage and that took you over the 100% that you had asked for, they mm-hmm. held you at 100%. They didn't give anybody 105% of what they had requested. Right. So that's where a lot of the odd numbers came from.
Do you know offhand which ones are 100% and which ones are less than what they
Yes, sir. That's in the minutes. Aiken Making and Aiken Spring Classic had already been given 100% of their request.
It's on page 118, about the middle of the page.
Yeah.
And the reason for the $12,000 is normally we will get a request from a group. A lot of these performing art groups may not find out to a certain time of the year that they are able to get an artist to come to town. They have come back to us in the past and asked for money, and this gives the Accommodations Tax Committee a little bit of a buffer. If no one comes to us, then we include that in next year's appropriations and just divide it out at that time.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, were there any folks there that asked for more money or they were satisfied or whatever?
Yes, sir. I don't think anyone was present. Okay. As far as
one thing you might suggest next year, just round off to the nearest dollar.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a percentage. They had extra money, and they just figured a percentage.
Well, I understand what they did. Beverly, okay, what was your, request?
My recommendation would be that you save $12,000 and give the low amount, $334.34.
To the
$919.91. It'll still be an odd figure, but it mm-hmm. at least it'll be at least $1,000.
$934.34. And then the carryover would just be $12,000.
Okay. All right. Council have any problem with that?
No, but I before we vote, I would want to say to Glenn, you and Kirsten did a great job on the senior extravaganza.
Yeah, you did.
I heard super comments about that. I talked to all the vendors, and they were delighted. I mean, once again, it's just a great program.
It really
Kirsten
is.
And committee. There are a lot of folks who were involved behind the scenes
and
pulling that off. There's a committee of about 25.
Collectively, they did a super job. Absolutely.
We actually, if I can, the Senior Commission put together a survey.
Yes.
We collected 260-something surveys that we're tabulating now, so that's going to give us some interesting information to share with you down the road.
That's a great event.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old gymnasium was full of vendors, and the new gymnasium was full of seniors. Yeah. So that's a measure of success.
You know, when you walked in, it didn't even look like a gym.
It did.
It did.
You had to look at the ceiling to tell. Yeah. It was just really looked nice.
Yeah. Well, Mayor, when I walked in, I heard that your representative, your nominee or representative was working very hard, and then when I spotted him, he was sitting there eating, so I wasn't sure whether it was, he was hard at eating or hard at work.
So. What was his name?
Beatenbug?
I saw him in the Washington Post.
William Price was my appointee to that group, and when I saw him, he was working.
Mr. Mayor, I witnessed him eating, and I might have been helping him.
I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but the senior committee was actually interviewed by a feature writer for the Washington Post about a month ago, and Aiken got a fantastic write-up, and Mr. Price... should be proud of himself. He was quoted in the paper, as was Chief Frommer. And, you know, for a lot of people that never heard of Aiken, you know, when they read that article, they probably said, whoa, might as well look up Aiken.
Yeah, that article actually stemmed out of a group that were summer interns that came down through Channel 21 and interviewed Glenn and interviewed the mayor and myself. We actually put something in Issues and Updates about that. And that's kind of an article that they push out. Aiken has a demographic that the rest of the country is predicted to have by the year 2050. So that's why they were particularly interested to see how we were dealing with senior issues.
Of course, the downside is that our stop signs are now 250% of what they used to be, so we can see them when we drive.
Do we have a motion in
there
a second to
Mr. Mayor, before we make the motion here, this group also worshiped at my church while they were here, and it was well received. So.
Good deal.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Yes.
So. Good. Good group of folks.
But some move that we adopt.
I move that we adjourn, Mr. Mayor.
No, wait. That motion takes precedence, so we got to stop it.
Okay, now this will
include. I second the motion.
This will include Beverly's change there on that price. Okay.
Accommodations tax.
Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. We are adjourned.
And as you leave, Mayor, we do have the annual report available for council. Was that your statement?
1251
25,
right?
Mr.
Mayor,
this is the young lady.
Yes,
it's 1.9.
Name is
Cecilia McGee.
It's
Bill McGee.
Alrighty. Oh, I met her. She is so
charming. She's 100 years old.
And gracious.
And she still cooks for her family.
Rich was here to get her early today.
She's from about church, and she's good.
Yes, I did.